Thank you. Good evening. Should have made an announcement earlier, but want to remind you to bring some candy for the fall festival. That's just a week from Saturday, and a little bit late getting the announcement out about needing candy for prizes. But if you could help with that and put it in the kitchen, that'd be great. Or give it to Tim Hawks or Isaiah Hawks. That would be a blessing. My title tonight is just one word. Got that? If you listen on the CD, you don't know. It says stop. All right? Stop. I'm not going to sing the song that goes with this, though I love that song, though. Stop and let me tell you. But I'll bring that back up as we go along tonight. But I'm asking you to turn to Jeremiah 45. Jeremiah 45, as we think about this little word stop, we see that sign every time we drive. Sometimes we obey it and sometimes we don't. You know now that partial obedience is disobedience, right? So if you just roll and keep going, that's not really stopping. So that's not part of the sermon. That's just extra there for trying to help you out on the road. So the context here of Jeremiah 45, just five verses in this little chapter. We're going to read all five verses, but we're really going to be looking at verse 5. The context is Jeremiah is prophesying in Judah, specifically in Jerusalem, in the days leading up to the fall of Jerusalem and the exile of the majority of the people who were still left in Jerusalem and Judah. And Baruch is his scribe, and we find him frequently throughout the book of Jeremiah, and he is somewhat of an administrative assistant, you might say. When Jeremiah has something to write down, he dictates it. Baruch writes it down. When he needs something that he can't do himself, he sends Baruch out and he does it. And we won't get into all that right now. But Baruch has been writing down what Jeremiah has told him that he was receiving from the Lord, and that Babylon was going to mount a successful siege against the city of God. And there's a personal message to Baruch that Jeremiah is going to give in this chapter, and basically it's this: stop. Stop. All right, here we go. Chapter 45, verse 1 of Jeremiah. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spoke to Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the instruction of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to you, O Baruch. You said, 'Woe is me now, for the Lord has added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest.' Thus you shall say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, behold, what I have built I will break down, and what I have planted I will pluck up, that is, this whole land. And do you seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them. For behold, I will bring adversity on all flesh, says the Lord, but I will give your life to you as a prize in all places wherever you go. Do not seek them.'" Does anybody have a translation that says stop seeking them? Does anybody have? I think that's the HCSB. Holman Christian Standard Bible, I think. It says, stop seeking them. Stop. So we're going to make a little application as we think about Baruch and what was going on here for him. And to do that, we just want to ask and answer three simple questions concerning the command to stop. Basically, the questions: what, why, and how. First of all, what should we stop? And we notice there in verse 5 what Baruch was to stop. He was to stop seeking great things for himself. Do you seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them. So I would suggest that there's an application for us that we should stop, if we are, seeking great things for ourselves. Great things, that's one word in the Hebrew. And as I was looking in the concordance and seeing the meaning of that word. And of course, like many words, there are some synonyms. But as I thought about that, I thought about this idea of great things. And really the thought here is things that are great, first of all, maybe in size. Well, large things. So maybe we're seeking, or I'm seeking, or you're seeking the biggest and the best. It can also speak of things that are great in quantity. A lot of things. So maybe some of us, maybe all of us, are seeking more and more and more. It can also mean things that are great in intensity. So maybe we're seeking things at times that have a great volume. They're calling out to us, or they're intense in the way that they seek to grab our attention, and maybe we're seeking those things. It can also mean things that are great in importance. So maybe there are things that we feel are important, or things that make us feel important. But I think the key to this little phrase is not so much in the great things. I think the key to the phrase is in the two words, for yourself. For yourself. Baruch, stop seeking great things for yourself. It's not necessarily wrong to seek great things, things that are big, or things that are a lot, or things that are intense, or things that are important. But what we find here is a command from the Lord to Baruch to not seek those things for himself. Self-centeredness, self-focusedness. Is that a word? Probably is. We'll make one if it isn't. Self-focusedness. It couldn't be because I can't say it. Focusing on yourself. Okay, we'll go that way. Those are not attributes that should characterize a follower of the Lord Jesus. Seeking great things for ourselves. That convicted me. You see, that's one thing about these devotional messages. Normally, when it's my turn to bring one, I'm going to bring something that the Lord has brought out to me in my quiet time reading, probably. Seeking for self. That's what we should stop. Well, why should we stop? Why should we stop? Well, look at the next phrase there. Do not seek them, for behold, I will bring adversity on all flesh, says the Lord. In essence, judgment is coming. Well, look back at verse 4. We read that too. Thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, behold, what I have built I will break down, and what I have planted I will pluck up. That is this whole land. In other words, the place where you are, Baruch, the place where you're seeking great things for yourself is temporary. This place is under judgment. Judgment is coming, and this environment in which you live, if you invest your life here, you're wasting your life. That's a poor investment, Baruch. Stop seeking great things for yourself, because everything around you is going to be gone. Any great things that you gain for yourself, Baruch, from this place is going to be temporary. Now, what's interesting, you may remember that God told Jeremiah to buy some land. And Jeremiah's thinking, what? That's not like a very good real estate deal. This place is, we're going to be exiled out of here. Babylonians are going to take it over. Why do I want to own anything here? Well, in that situation, Jeremiah was gaining a great thing, but not for himself. In fact, he didn't even want it. But he did it at the obedience of God, to the obedience of God. It was for God. It wasn't for himself. You know, how does that apply to us today? Well, guess what? The place where we live, this place is headed for judgment. I don't think anybody doubts that. This world is under the condemnation of God, and it's coming. And like Kim often reminds me, a friend of hers told her, you know, everything in your house is going to burn, right? It's going to burn. No matter how nice it is, no matter how hard you work for it, no matter what kind of an heirloom it is and what it means to you, it's going to be gone, everything. This place, the accolades of this place, they're temporary. The positions that we acquire in this place, they're temporary. The things that we possess, they're temporary. This place is under judgment. The world is under the judgment of God. This place is temporary. Baruch, get that through your noggin, boy. We need to get that through our noggins, don't we? Well, how should we stop? Well, we just hold up a sign. It says stop and you stop. Some of you may remember the Bob Hart show. And there was an episode where he, as a psychologist, a woman came in. And I won't go through the whole thing. I don't have time, and I couldn't do it as he, like he does with a straight face anyway. But he told her, you know, I was going to only have to pay like $5. I need the money up front. And she said, well, let me write. No, you don't need to write it down. I think you'll be able to remember it. She said, well, my problem is I'm afraid I'm going to be buried alive in a box. And he said, okay, are you ready? Here's what I want to tell you. Stop it. She said, stop it. Stop thinking you're going to be buried alive in a box. Stop. He could have just held up a stop sign. Stop. You know, isn't God gracious? He could just say, stop. But he said, no, I'm going to enable you to stop. And I'm going to tell you how to stop. That's what I'm going to do. Look what he did for Baruch. Look at what the last sentence says. But I will give your life to you as a prize in all places wherever you go. Baruch, don't try to get a great position here. Don't try to amass a lot of possessions. Baruch, don't focus on this place. This place is under judgment. It's all temporary. Baruch, I'm going to give you your life. A lot of people are going to die, Baruch. I'm going to give you your life. Be content. Be content with your life. Rather than trying to amass great things for yourself, be content with your life. Let that be what you seek. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. I've got several verses I'm going to read to you, but here in Colossians chapter 3, we'll just turn to this one little section for sake of time. I love Colossians 3. And I love these first verses. And I don't know how many times I've said Colossians 3 and verse 4, but I'm going to say it again tonight. But how should we stop? We need to be content with our life. But look down at verse 4. We'll just start at verse 4 and work our way back. Look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, that's all I want to read right now. When Christ, who is our life, you can drop the when off if you want to. Christ, who is our life, what is God saying? Don't seek great things for yourself here. Don't be focused on you. Don't be focused on the temporary. Christ is your life. Be content with your life. Be content with the Lord Jesus. And it was, and as with Christ as your life, that means to live by faith. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 34, he says, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Christ is your life. And to live with Christ as your life means to live a life by faith. I'm not even going to primarily seek after my daily necessities. Yes, I'm going to go out and go to work. Yes, I'm going to be sensible and logical, but that's not first. Before I'm going to seek that, I'm going to seek Christ and His kingdom and His righteousness. Christ as my life means to live for others. Philippians 2, verses 20 and 21. Paul says, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Why? For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. You can also reference 1 Corinthians 10:24. Let no one seek his own, but each the other's well-being. 1 Corinthians 10:32 and 33. Paul says, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, love. What's one of the characteristics of love? It does not seek its own. You see, with Christ as my life, that means living a life for others, not for me, not about having great things, not about accomplishing great things for me, but rather being concerned for others, living by faith, and living for the glory of God. Here in Colossians 3, verse 1, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ as your life means to live for God's glory. The things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, not about me, not about seeking great things for myself, but rather seeking the things that are above. And finally, Christ as my life means to live for eternity. Hebrews chapter 11. Turn there as we close. Hebrews 11, verses 13 to 16. These in the hall of faith, as we often refer to it. We've read earlier in this chapter about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Why? Because this place is temporary. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. How should we stop? God says, I've given you your life. Wherever you go, I've given you your life as a prize to you. Your life is the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is your life. It's not about you. You're bought with a price. And everywhere you go, whatever's going on around you, whatever temptations you may face, you can live by faith. You can live for others. You can live for the glory of God. You can live with eternity in view. So, brothers and sisters, I'm going to point it at me first. Stop. 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 Let's don't seek great things for ourselves, because this place is temporary and it's not about self. Instead, may we be content with Christ as our life. And may that guide everything that we pursue. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. For those of us who know Him, we have been bought at the price of His own precious blood shed for us. Shed for sinners, shed for me. Thank You, Father, for Your Son who is at Your right hand alive this evening and also is here in the very center of our meeting. Father, we thank You that not only is He in heaven and He not only is in the center when we meet, but He's with every one of us everywhere we go. He's promised to never leave us, to never forsake us. He is our life. Father, forgive us when we seek great things here for ourselves. Thank You for telling us to stop. Thank You for telling us why to stop. And thank You for enabling us to stop seeking great things for ourselves and rather seek the things that honor You and that please You and that are like the things that Your Son sought while He was here upon the earth. Thank You so much. Enable us by Your grace, by Your Holy Spirit, to do these things that we are totally incapable of doing. Thank You that we can encourage one another as we do so. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.